This is the last Sunday of 2020. Every year I like to have a sermon looking back on the year, or at least thinking very carefully about what the passing of this year signifies in our life. And one of the things that I really want to develop in our lesson this morning is a sense of urgency. With each passing year, we draw one step closer to eternity. We'll look at a verse in a few moments that says that we have 70 years, or by reason of strength, 80 years. Of course, with our health system, some people get beyond that. But the point that the Lord is making is we all have a finite period of time to make our choices, to prepare for an eternal judgment that will determine the outcome of where we will live after this life is over. And Jesus is very clear that one choice is very, very unpleasant, while the other choice is bliss and happiness beyond anything that we can comprehend. When we first become a Christian, I think we're all pretty well aware of that. I think we're very zealous. For some Christians, that's the zenith of their zeal, because that's the time when they appreciate, when they understand sin, and they recognize how broken their life is. So continuing that is sometimes more difficult than others, but I think when we have a year passing, it's a good opportunity for us to think about some of these things and to see how we're doing. Whether we are better this year than we were last year, whether we are weaker this year than we were last year, that's what I like to do with this period of time that our country calls the new year. Of course, God's new year, if we look at the Jewish calendar, it won't be coming for another, 2.5-3 months. It's the middle of March. But we follow a calendar, and by that calendar, this is the end of our year. And over the opportunity we now have is we're another year older. We have one less new year to live, and we need to reflect. And I understand we should be doing this every day. I understand. But there are certain period of times in our life when somebody dies, when a terrible cataclysm occurs, or a health problem comes up, or a financial issue, or a problem in the country, where we are really shaken to our core. And I can't reproduce that every year as we change from time to time, but we need to keep some serious consideration about these things. So very quickly looking at this, we need to understand, I'm going to skip all of that. Paul sought to create this urgency when he writes to the Romans, and he says, knowing the time. In other words, Paul understands these Romans were converted. We don't know how many years passed. There were some from Rome, I believe, in Acts chapter 2. So there have been some Christians that have been Christians since the very beginning. Whether they're still in Rome or not, I don't know. But knowing the time, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Now there's a couple of important thoughts in this verse that we should be reflecting on always, but as I said, this time of year it's easier to do this. And that is that with each passing day, our salvation, which Paul refers to as what will happen after death. We are saved when we're baptized, but we're also saved at the point of death, when the angels come, as they did for the poor man Lazarus, and carried him to Abraham's bosom. So my salvation, your salvation, I mean, think back. How long has it been since you were baptized? I see some young people here, probably just been a few years. I see some older people here. It might be 50 or 60 years. And each one of us, as we look back on that life, should have a sense that we've done this. That we have, in fact, woken up out of sleep. Now we'll talk about that just in a few moments. But in verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. So what Paul is seeking to help us with here is that with the passing of time, something happens. With the passing of time, we have less time to prepare, and less time to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I did my very best. It's kind of like the Hebrew writer when he said, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, but you need to be taught again. And that's a terrible thing to think about. And we all need to think about that in our own personal lives, because as the days pass, the Lord has some expectations from us. First of all, are we aware of the time? Is this something that's in our consciousness? Is this something that we think about every year in this sermon, or is this something we're thinking about all the time? Are we sleeping? Jesus talks about the word being choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. That's very easy to happen. And so we need to wake up, because at some point we need to determine, am I asleep? What does it mean, sleep? Paul said, those who take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, some of them are weak, some of them are sickly, and some of them are asleep. What does he mean by asleep? Well, in another passage, he talks about those who are asleep in Jesus. And so sleeping and death are synonymous terms. Now, there's a physical death and there's a spiritual death. Paul talked here to the Ephesians about the spiritual death. Because, as Paul said, I was alive apart from the law. When the commandment came, sin came alive, and I died. Now, when he was baptized, he was cleansed of that. But what happens the next time he sinned? What happens the next time if he doesn't repent? And so these are things that we all need to be considering. Is there any sin that I haven't taken care of? Is there a sin that has become such a big part of my life I don't even see the need to repent of it, because I know I'm going to be doing it again? The conscience has grown weak, the conscience has grown dull. And so when Paul writes this, he's trying to help us all appreciate. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. That means that you're watching what's going on around you, that you're aware. It's like Paul said with the Lord's Supper, let a man examine himself. When we're taking the Lord's Supper, God wants us to be testing ourselves. Am I remembering? Am I thinking about the Lord? Am I appreciative of what the Lord did? And so the same thing here, walking circumspectly based on the scriptures. You know, when we see somebody who's looking for buried treasure and they have a map, and you see them every few moments, they're looking at the map, they're looking here, they're looking at the map, that's walking circumspectly. And so we have the scriptures. And so verse 16, redeeming the time, that means buying up the opportunities. And don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So there's 4 points here. Are we awake? I can't answer that for you. You can't answer that for me. But it's important, as we pass another year and we get our salvation is closer now, we need to be wondering about that. Am I awake? Am I aware? When I meet someone, am I aware that there's an opportunity, or can I find an opportunity to preach the gospel to this person? Are we aware of that? Now, we may be stymied in it. We might not be able to find a way to do it, but the point is, are we awake? Are we aware of that opportunity? Are we aware of the temptations the devil is trying to point us into the direction of and get away from them before they actually occur? Jesus expects, and I could have put demands here, Jesus expects and demands a state of urgency. He says, let your waist be girded and your lamps be burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. In other words, their ears are attuned, they're working, they're looking, they're waiting, because they know he's coming. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. So the point of the lesson up to this period is to give us an opportunity to reflect, to give us an opportunity to carefully look at, what did I do this week? What did I do this month? What have I accomplished this year? As a Christian who's awake, who's walking circumspectly, we are constantly looking at where we were, where we are, and where we want to be. And the more aware that we are, if we get caught up in entertainment, if we get caught up in our work, if we get caught up in our hobbies, we can fall asleep. We've all met Christians who have done it. And it's easier to do than many Christians realize. And so we need to do everything we can to be feeling and thinking like this. Because the Lord goes on to say, if I come and you're not doing this, I'm going to consider you an unfaithful servant and I'm going to cast you into the outer darkness. This passage is very powerful. You might want to sit down and read it this afternoon. But the Lord expects effort and toil. I think about this a lot. He was willing to leave heaven, come to this earth, work day after day after day, trying to help people understand the Lord's will, and allow himself to be put to death. And then Christians come along and they say, well, I want this to be a side part of my life. I want to be a Christian. I want to have Christianity. I want my big toe in, or I want my foot in. Lord's not going to be happy with that. He wants seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. Paul also had an urgency that he shared with the Corinthians. Don't you know that all who run in a race run, but one receives the prize? There's an urgency there. There's a plan. I'm going to be running. I've got to get across the finish line. I'd like to get across the finish line in first place. Not because I'm competing against anyone, but because I would like the Lord to see that my efforts measure up. You remember what he said about Job? I have no one like him in all the earth. Why? Because he turned away from evil. Because he was urgent. Because he was serious. And so, verse 25, everyone who competes for the prize is self-controlled or temperate in all things. Have we manifested that this year? Have we reached another milepost? Has anything happened this year except time passing? Are we growing? Are we becoming more knowledgeable? Are we taking 2 Peter 1 and adding to our faith the virtue, the knowledge, the self-control, the perseverance, the godliness, the brotherly kindness, and the love? This is a race. In Hebrews chapter 12, we are told that we have a great cloud of witnesses, and therefore we should run the race that is set before us after laying aside sin and the weights that so easily beset us. Have any new weights arisen this year? Have we gotten involved in activities that are keeping us or drawing us further and further away from the Lord? Before we reach a point where we can't come back, we need to make these assessments. We need to ask ourselves, am I more faithful today than I was this time last year? Am I growing? Am I running? Am I producing? Am I gaining? Verse 26. Therefore, I run in this way. This is how I run. I'm running just like I just told you. Verse 27, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. I find it fascinating. Paul's been a Christian now for probably 15 or 20 years. The 1 Corinthian letter was written on his third missionary journey. His life was beginning to draw to a close. He'd be writing the Corinthians he's writing the Corinthians right now, saying, we're going to take the collection to Jerusalem, and then he's going to go to prison, and then he's going to end up in Rome. So he's not a babe here. And yet, he still speaks in verse 27 of disciplining the body. We still doing that? Or have we just kind of given up? Those sins that so easily beset us, are we still running with urgency? Are we still trying to discipline our body? Or have we just said to ourselves, you know, I just can't do it. Lord, you're just going to have to understand. I just can't do it. Well, that's not how Paul looked at it. So, are we like this? As we read this verse, do we say in our hearts, I can make melody with that. I know exactly what Paul's talking about. I know exactly how he's feeling because that's how I feel. Or as we read this, are we thinking to ourselves, this is a very interesting story, but I don't really relate to it. I don't really grasp it. In chapter 3 of Philippians, he says the same thing. I have not already attained. I am not already perfected. but I press on. So day by day by day. I don't think Paul waited to the end of the year, but like I said, I don't want to preach this every week, so I usually pick the end of the year to do this because it's a milepost. It's one of the 80 that we're going to pass. And for some of us, we're getting to the end, and for some of us, we're starting in the beginning, but no matter where we are, Paul's attitude here. I'm not already there. I press on. There's the race figure again. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Well, what did Christ Jesus lay hold of us for? So that we would live soberly and godly and righteously in this present age. You know, that's what the grace of God has appeared to teach us. Paul talks to Titus about this. The grace of God has appeared, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, to live soberly, which means thinking clearly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Now, this last year is gone. Have we done anything? Are we closer? Further away? Treading water? Are we like Paul? When we set a goal, we reach the goal. We set another goal, we reach the goal. That's what Paul says, verse 13. I do not count myself to have apprehended. I haven't reached it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press. Here's the race. He's running. He's running with patience. I'm pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say that join in following my example. And as many as are mature will have the same mind. So, am I a mature Christian? Did I manifest my maturity this year by having this mind? Did I start the year with this? Have I finished with this? If I have to say no, then I have to make a new decision. What about next year? Where will I be at the end of next year? Now, some of us may not make the end of next year. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But when the Lord calls us away, we better have our waist girded, which means we're ready to work, our lamps lit, and like men who are waiting urgently for the Lord's return. So, by that standard, did we mature this year? Did we grow at all? Are we more spiritually minded, more aware of the race we're running, more aware of the efforts we should be putting forth? Like I said, Christianity is not simply a treading water religion. Christianity is a race. It is a race that we run, Hebrews chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It is a labor. We are stewards. And God has some expectations. In Psalm 39, this man encapsulates. This is what my whole lesson is trying to accomplish today. Make me to know my end. Help me understand. One day, I will die. Could be this week. Could be today. Could be this week. Could be this month. This next year. Maybe it's 10 years away. But I want to be doing what the Lord is saying here. Make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days, so that I might know how frail I am? It's hard in our country. You know, we've talked about this in the past. Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. When was the last time you prayed that? In this manner pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. I've got a month's worth of food in my pantry and in some of the things I have downstairs. Why do I need to pray for daily bread? Because I'm frail. And the Lord wants me to know how frail I am. So we ask him for our daily needs because we want to look to him as the one who supplies those daily needs. I like Jesus when he said, look at the birds. You ever do that? Look at the birds. They don't sow. They don't toil. And yet your Father takes care of them. Make me to know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as hand breaths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. Brethren, if we want a heart of wisdom, if we want to truly be servants that the Lord can look down upon and say, have you considered my servant? He is doing exactly what I want. Verse 6, surely every man walks about like a shadow. They busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. So, as a Christian, my attitude towards spiritual growth, my urgency, my understanding that the Lord has expectations, and we need to be looking toward the end. Not morbidly. This isn't a morbid thing at all. It is a wise thing. We are rushing toward eternity. We will all stand before the judgment bar of Christ, and when that day comes, I think all of us will wish we'd done this even more, even if this is our primary goal right now, even if this is always on our mind. And that's what these scriptures are supposed to do. I think I mentioned to you last year, I've preached this sermon, not this one, but I've preached a sermon like this every year for the last 30 or 40 years. Because I think it's that important. I think we need to be brought face to face with our mortality. You know, it happens when we go to a funeral. You know, I got up this morning, I thought, you know what I'm going to do this year? I'm going to put some tombstones up there. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know something? I'm not going to do that this year. But I looked at a lot of tombstones this morning, and I looked at when they were born and when they died, and it really touched my heart, because that's what it does. That's why the Ecclesiastes writer, we'll look at this verse in just a few moments. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, because that is the end of all men. Excuse me, because that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. But you know something? Over the years, we've taken it to heart so much that going to a funeral doesn't really change that very much, because we're already there. And if it does change it a lot, then that's telling me that somehow I still don't know my end. I still don't understand the measure of my days. I still don't comprehend how frail I am. And that at my best state, I'm just a vapor. You know, James takes that same concept and he moves it a step further. He says, you ought to say, if the Lord will, I'm going to do this or that in the future. And so, at the end of each year, it's a good time to reflect, is this me? Is this my attitude? Whether I'm in my 20s or teens, or whether I'm in my 50s or my 80s, is this my attitude? Do I know my end? This is a prayer. It's also a song. It's also something we ought to all give careful consideration to. This particular psalm has been attributed to Moses. I'm not exactly sure why. I tried to find out one year and I never could really understand it. I guess there's some points in here. But it certainly fit that, because after the wilderness wandering, all of their days were passed away in God's wrath. But you know, if Moses wasn't the writer, that's still true. Because when God cursed the earth, it was because of his wrath. And we all pass away our years under the wrath of God. And we're going to finish our years like a sigh, because as Paul points out in Romans chapter 8, our bodies haven't been redeemed yet. We're waiting for the redemption of the body, which Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as sown in dishonor and raised in glory. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. Best really that you can look at as you go back through this year. What did we do this year? Well, we went to work, we toiled, we labored, and that's what we're going to do until we leave. The same thing is true in our relationship with the Lord. Their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. and we fly away. Who really knows the power of God's anger? You see it in the flood. You see it in Sodom and Gomorrah. You see it as Jesus describes the judgment scene where the people are crying and gnashing their teeth because in the wrath of God, they are going to be eternally separated from Him. As the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And so once again, the question, did we gain this yet? I've preached this lesson here 8 times now. This is the beginning of the 9th year that we're going to move into. Has it changed anything? We hear it. But can you honestly say that over the last 10 years or 8 years or 20 years or whatever, we have become more and more acutely aware of our mortality? We have become more and more aware of the handbreadths and the true spiritual realities that are all around us that nobody can see except by faith. How do you number your days? Every birthday? Every anniversary? Every end of the year? How do we number our days? What exactly is he asking me to do here? Well, I may not have an answer that fits what you think, but the question is, do you think? I mean, do you have an answer to this? Have we gained a heart of wisdom? Have we learned how to number our days? To make a decision, I've lived this many years, I have this many years left, I've got to have this done before I stand before the Lord. I'm going to work and toil to get this done. And I'm going to see progress along the way. That's how we number our days. That's what we do when we set a deadline at work. If you have a deadline at work, in 3 weeks, this contract has to be finished. And therefore, we got to have this done on this day, this done by, in other words, you parcel it out. Well, that's what the Lord's asking us to do with our lives. Because we have a deadline, and we have an assessment that the Lord's going to make. We're all stewards. We're all stewards of God's time, the body He gave us, the abilities that we have, and the opportunities. There's youth, young adult, middle-aged, senior, dark days. That's how the Lord parcels out. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the dark days come. And that's the wisdom of Ecclesiastes. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth, but it's not forever. Just appreciate the fact that it's not forever. You know, a couple of years ago, we used the illustration of high school because most of us are out of high school. Some of us haven't even started yet, but most of us are out. And some of us have some real regrets. We didn't make very good use of our years in high school. We were sleepy. We didn't realize that we were there to learn. We were there to play. We were there for sports. We were there for popularity or for extracurricular activities. No, we weren't. We were there to learn. And I look back now on the, quote, nerds, and I tell myself, you were foolish to mock them because they had it right. Well, why am I talking about this? Because one of these days, and we will do it after our children are raised, we'll go back and we'll realize, you know, there was a deadline there. There were certain things that had to be done at certain periods of time as our children were growing up. If we didn't do them, and they've fallen away, we'll have a lifetime of regret. We will feel that pain. Well, that's really what the Lord is asking us to do here. He's asking us to understand that these things are fleeting. And he goes on to say that. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, if you can't understand that, then go visit a rest home where the people there have no one to care for them and they're just waiting to die. And they don't have work. They don't have activities. It's a difficult time, and then the health begins to fail. The Lord says, I don't want you to wait till then to come to me. I want you to come to me in your youth. If a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. They're a cloud. Now, again, we're not talking morbidity here. We're not talking about morbidly thinking about death or morbidly thinking about or being afraid of our old age. We are being told you have a finite number of days and you need to use each one of them with a purpose. What's the purpose? Getting ready to stand before the Lord. Being prepared. When by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you. Well, what does that mean? It means I didn't take good advantage of my opportunities. I didn't buy them up. And that possibly is the most important thing that can come out of this lesson, is the realization that we are on a time schedule, there is a deadline, and there are certain pivotal things along the way that we better reach, or we're never going to be able to reach them. So, before we leave this year, are all your sins repented of? You do that from time to time. Father, please forgive me of the sins that I didn't know I committed, or the sins that I was not attentive enough and I didn't repent of. Please forgive me of those things. When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he commits or has committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. Now notice verse 28, because this is really the key here. Because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed. Now, turn away doesn't just mean I stop doing them. Turn away means that I repent, that I ask God for forgiveness, that I change my mind. You know, the meaning of repentance just means to change your mind. I did this. Now I look back on it with regret. I've changed my mind. Father, please forgive me. Repentance and confession. Because he considers. Now, that's something I think that all of us need to be doing at the end of each day. We need to consider, did I do anything today? And then at the end of the year, we go back and we consider and we offer a prayer to God. Father, forgive me for anything this year that I didn't do that I should have done, that I did that I shouldn't have done, that I haven't already brought before you. That's a circumspect person. That's a person whose loins are girded, who is waiting for their master's return. That's a person who has numbered their days and remembered their Creator. And the efforts here, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, well, that's the situation that we're all in. We're righteous because of our faith. But if we turn, if we commit iniquity, and die in it? What does it mean, die in it? It means I didn't repent. I didn't turn away. Now the opposite here, if I'm in that situation in verse 26, then I become a wicked man. Well, how do I fix that? Well, a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he committed and does what is lawful and right. When Paul wrote the Corinthians, in chapter 7, he praised them because their godly sorrow had led to their repentance. And that's exactly what he's writing about here. Many years are passing. We are getting closer and closer. Like I said earlier, when Paul wrote this, he was probably in his early 50s. Could be pushing into his 60s. We really don't know exactly when he was converted, but we think it was probably in his mid-30s. If it was later than that, then he was much older here. But he says, my outer man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day through prayer, through reading the scriptures, through meditation, through urgency. Our inner man, day by day by day, is being renewed. What does he mean, being renewed? Well, I think what he just said in the previous verse in Ezekiel, we still sin. John said in 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, or we make him a liar. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we are being renewed day by day by day, because we'd all like to say, it's just been like this for me, but it hasn't. It's been like this for every one of us. Because every time we sin, we need to be renewed. We need to repent. We need to confess. The inner man is being renewed day by day. Our hopes are getting stronger and stronger. For our light affliction, which is but a for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How are we doing with that? I mean, this year, are we looking more at the unseen or at the seen? Are we really starting to realize that this life is going to be dissolved? And that seeing that all these things are going to be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all godliness and holy living? We do not look at the things which are seen. If you can say, I've really grown in that this year, I'm focusing more on the eternal than I am on the temporary. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the final reflections that I'd like us to carry away from this lesson, first of all, Paul's words in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. All the time and effort we put into the material realm, someday we will look back and say that was a complete waste of my time. Because everything I did, I couldn't take with me. But if we focus on the spiritual, then we can take that with us. Like Jesus said after the parable of the unjust steward, he said, make friends for yourselves with unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they will receive you into eternal tabernacles. But there's efforts that have to be done, things that have to be done, deadlines that have to be reached, growth and development that has to be developed. And the Lord has expectations. And he's pretty clear. If we don't meet the Lord's expectations, take away the talent and give it to the man with 10 talents and cast that servant into the outer darkness. For everything, there is a season. There's a time to be young, time to raise children, time to develop your career and to grow and spread your wings. And there's a time when you are in that and you're living your life day by day by day. And there's a time when you start looking back on those things because now you're finished with them. We're finished with high school. We're finished with college. We're finished with our career. We're finished raising our family. Maybe we're finished being married because our spouse has passed away. These are milestones that we're all going to have to pass. And we can pass them, what, with flying colors? We can pass them with straight A's. If we're aware, if we watch, if we're concerned, if we develop this. Or we can look back in great agony. Once again, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? So that's the lesson this morning. For each of us, this sermon has to be either accepted and believed and applied or forgotten or scoffed at. It depends. It depends on where we're at in our spiritual life. But regardless of the way that I might have presented the scriptures, those scriptures are pretty clear. And we all have an obligation. We all have a responsibility. Jesus died to create a people zealous for good works. Urgent. There's an urgency. There is a need to get as much as we can done day after day after day. So that when the year ends, as it is now, we can look back with contentment, or at least with an understanding that we did the best we could. And if we can't do that this year, let's ask God for forgiveness. And then next year, let's live it such a way so that when a derivative of this lesson, because I never use the same verses every year, but the next time we hear this lesson, we can say to ourselves, this year, I accomplished a lot, and I'm very happy with my accomplishments. As we now prepare to sing the song of invitation, what's our plans? These scriptures have been preached. The Lord's watching. Am I going to act on them? Am I going to make any plans? Am I going to repent? Is there anything I need to repent of? Was something brought up in this lesson that applied to me? What am I going to do with that? Lord's watching. Your faithfulness is on the line. Your relationship with God is on the line. Because He has expectations. He commands all men everywhere to repent, because He's appointed a day in which He will judge every one of us. As we sing the song of invitation this morning, if there's anyone in the audience who needs to repent, maybe you don't need to come forward, you just need to repent. Get it done. Today is a day of salvation. Don't look back with eternal regrets, because this was a moment when you could have stepped forward. Or we'll shrink back and another year will pass. Let's not do that. If we can help you in any way, would you please let us know while we together stand and sing?